Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live to the glory of your holy name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn is hymn 553. To follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We'll be using the order of service we use on Ash Wednesday. This will be the order of service we'll use on non-communion Sundays during the season of Lent. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our sins and pray that you would be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, renew us by your Spirit, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now, we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Jesus Christ, you set us free, accept our thanks eternally, for
responsive psalm is Psalm 130, printed on the top of page 3. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who would stand?
But there is forgiveness with you.
That you may be here.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits.
And in his word I take hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
Yes, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord.
For with the Lord there is mercy.
And with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to take out your booklets of the Passion History of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be reading part 3 today, beginning on page 5 and 6.
Jesus before Pilate. Immediately in the morning, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together. They took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They led Jesus into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Then the whole multitude of them arose, bound Jesus, and led him away from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early morning. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, would we not have delivered him up to you?" Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called to Jesus. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to the chief priests and crowd, "I find no fault in this man." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but while he was being accused, he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, "Do you answer nothing? Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that Pilate, the governor, marveled greatly. Here ends our Passion History reading.
Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we'll be using the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with its explanation from the Catechism, and that's printed on page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 547.
Thank you.
remain seated. We ask the children of our congregation to come forward for the children's sermon. Reese, do you know what that's a picture of? What animal is that? Close.
A hen.
A hen? It's actually the male version. Not a hen, but a... It goes cock-a-doodle-doo. Someone help him out. It's a rooster. Yes, it's a rooster. I could have picked a more pronounced-looking rooster with a bigger crown on his head. It's a rooster. Do you know where roosters come up in the Bible? Yeah, you might have heard the story this week in school. Remember Jesus said something to Peter about a rooster? He said, "But you will hear the rooster crow two times." And how many times would Peter deny Jesus? Three times, yes. He denied him three times. That's going to be our text for today. Peter denying Jesus three times. And he hears a rooster crow twice. When you hear a rooster crow, do you know what that often means? When you hear a rooster, what does that mean? It's morning, right? When you woke up this morning after the time change last night, did you use a rooster to wake you up in the morning? No. You probably use an alarm clock, right? The rooster might remind us of what Peter did in denying Jesus, but it also should remind us of what Jesus said to Peter and to the other disciples. He told them to watch and pray. He said to wake up, just like what a rooster does. He makes you wake up when you hear him do his crow in the morning. Wake up, watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. If Peter had been listening to Jesus' words, praying and trusting in Jesus instead of himself, do you think Peter would have denied Jesus? He probably wouldn't have, would he? If he had trusted in Jesus and prayed to him, yeah. We are going to be tempted to do things that Jesus doesn't want us to do too. And the answer is not to say, well, I can do better, I can do my best, I'll be strong. Who should we turn to get that strength? To God, yep, to Jesus himself. So when you hear this story of Peter, remember the rooster? Remember Jesus telling you to wake up, to watch, and to pray? And remember what Peter should have turned to. The good news is, after Peter denied Jesus, did he turn back to Jesus? Did he turn to him for forgiveness? He did. Yep, we're going to hear about that today too. He turned to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. We know that Peter is in heaven with Jesus now. I'm going to give you the Sunday school lesson for today as well. So you can take that with you, take it home with you today. It's got the story that we're hearing in our sermon for today. And you may return to your seats. Thank you. I invite you to please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 22, the second half of verse 54 through verse 62. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, Peter, Peter, Peter. At about this time every Lenten season, we take some time to shake our heads at Peter's foolishness, at his arrogance over making this proclamation, "I will go to death before I deny you, dear Lord." And then we see him do the exact thing he promised he wouldn't do. Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He said those words just a few hours before doing the very thing he said he wouldn't do, denying Jesus, not just once, but three times. It didn't take a tough-looking group of Roman soldiers to get out of him either. No, what it took was a harmless little servant girl. And three denials of Jesus were the result. Good thing we're not so foolish, right? We would never do such a thing. We would never be foolish enough to take such an oath. Are we? Let me read to you some words that I would guess a number of you here today have said before, and or some version of this you've said before. Listen closely. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Do you recognize those words? Do they at least sound somewhat familiar? Maybe for some of you, your confirmation was a long time ago, but if you are a communicant member of this congregation, or of a different congregation in our church body or of a Lutheran church, you probably said those words at your confirmation, or you heard those words at your confirmation. Do you remember what you responded? Well, I'm guessing you responded with these words. I do so intend with the help of God. So we've made essentially the same promise as Peter, to remain faithful, to confess our Lord Jesus to the end, to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from him. Shouldn't that make us a bit uneasy? Since this instance of Peter's denial should remind us that we have, in fact, denied Jesus in our own ways a number of times during our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in our lives. Like Peter, we have not even come close to keeping that promise perfectly. However, our promise to our Savior, our promise of faithfulness to him, is not exactly the same as Peter's. And in those differences, we find our lessons for today as we consider this third action of Christ's passion, that Jesus was denied. Now let's be clear that God, our loving Father, does actually want us, his children, to pledge our lifelong love and faithfulness to him. That pleases him. That's not the kind of oath that God does not want us to take. He does love when we pledge ourselves to him. But what he does not want is us to make a promise on the basis of one like Peter made. That kind of promise God would rather us not make. Look again at his words that are recorded for us in the gospel. These are words of Peter. He says, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never leave you. Matthew 26. Luke 22, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And then John 13, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Notice how many I's are in there. No, with the help of God, but I will do this. I will lay down my life. I will follow you to the end, Jesus. And yet, what do we read in the very first verse of our text today? But Peter followed at a distance. Notice, yeah, Peter's promises were not based on his confidence in God or his confidence in his Savior Jesus, but rather on his own dedication, his own fiery passion for his Savior Jesus, and his own devotion and love for his friend. So confidence in our own abilities, trust in our own faithfulness, will not lead us to a closer walk with Jesus, but will actually lead us to distance ourselves from him because of our own weakness, because of our own fear, our own failings as human beings. Peter's weak faith caused him to fear the consequences of a close association with Jesus, and therefore he did what our text says. He followed at a distance. Now, there's obviously a big difference between promising, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will, like Peter said, and our confirmation vow of, I do so intend with the help of God. The first is a promise that's based on our own feeble strength and our own willpower, while the second that we made at our confirmation is based on the power of God, based on his grace to keep our faith strong and firm forever to the very end. This confidence in Christ is the key to a closer walk with him, instead of following at a distance. We know what that means, though, don't we? We know what it means to follow Jesus only at a distance. We know what it means because often that's the type of following of Jesus that we're best at. We can get very good at that type of following Jesus. We proudly and boldly confess Christ as true God and true man, as we did today in our confession of faith. We do that proudly and boldly in the confines of God's house, in the safety and peace of our fellowship in these church walls. We're more than eager to stand up and confess the Apostles' Creed every Sunday, make open confessions of our faith in church. But if we're asked about our faith in the workplace, or with an acquaintance, or as we go about our daily lives, maybe at the grocery store or somewhere else, out and about in town, suddenly our words are few, and those words sound far less confident. We're proud to display our religious symbols, our crosses, our pictures of Jesus all over God's house. We'll display them proudly. We enjoy seeing them as we come in for worship. But what about displaying them in our own houses? Are we a little reluctant to do that? Or maybe on our vehicles, or even on our own person? We tend to not want to be maybe that noticeable a follower of Jesus. We want to follow, yes, we want to be associated with Jesus, but we want to only follow at a safe distance. Well, Peter demonstrated in our text that following Jesus at a distance leaves only a short step to complete denial when confrontation or strong temptation arises. Now, I'd like to believe that every one of us who are here this morning, including myself, if we were put at gunpoint and said, deny Jesus or you die, I would like to think that we would all just take the second option. We would not deny Jesus. We would confess him and suffer the consequences. But what do you think the chances are that you and I are going to face a situation like that in our lifetime? It could happen, but the chances are not likely. What will our confession be when the devil assaults us with a different kind of temptation or confrontation? Like the servant girl, something that's maybe more subtle and maybe unexpected. This man was also with him. Those are the words she said. Caught Peter off guard and led to three denials of Jesus. I can guarantee that every one of us here this morning will have situations similar to that one in our lifetime. Similar to that in the sense that we'll be confronted or maybe asked about our faith in a situation that's maybe unexpected or a lot less comfortable than sitting here in the house of worship. This isn't exactly news to any of you here today, but we don't exactly live in a pro-Jesus or pro-Christian area. So the chances of opposition or confrontation with the faith that we confess in Christ is actually pretty high, to say the least. How will we react when we're asked or confronted about our faith? Will we react in fear or in unbelief like Peter? Will we deny our allegiance to Jesus, or at least keep it way, way back in the distance so that nobody knows? We won't do that. We will be confident. We will not fear if we follow the advice that Jesus had given Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Those words of Jesus are very insightful, aren't they? They're not just for Peter and the disciples that were gathered there in Gethsemane. They are for us. He knows us. He knows that there are going to be times where we least expect temptation, and those will be the times they overtake us and beat us. We might be ready for that obvious temptation to deny Christ. If someone was to confront us and tell us, deny Christ, we might say, never. I'd never deny Christ. But the little servant girl, or the coworker, or the classmate, or the person we have a crush on, that can change things. That type of temptation, Satan throws us at a constant base, on a constant basis. And that's why Jesus encourages us to have a closer walk with him through the word and through prayer. That's what he means by watching and praying. That closer walk with Jesus is not just important as a preventative measure to withstand temptation, that closer walk with Jesus is vitally important when we, like Peter, do end up falling into temptation. Even if it's as far as Peter fell, outright denying Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. We're even told in one of the gospel accounts that he did it with an oath. He swore he did not know Jesus. How did Jesus call Peter back to himself? Listen again to the words of our text. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. That's how Jesus brings us back to his side as well. He uses his word to, yes, give us a knowledge of our sin, remind us of the things that God said about sin and what we should and shouldn't do. But that word that he implanted in our hearts and minds also reminds us, not just of his commands, but also of his great grace and his forgiving love. That implanted word reminds us that Jesus welcomes us back. You might have noticed that this week's action of Christ's passion is very similar to last week's. They both involve the falling away of one of Jesus' disciples. As we noted last week, in betraying Jesus, Judas also did what Peter did. He denied him. We can say the same thing about Peter. In denying Jesus, Peter also betrayed Jesus. When we look at the thoughts, the words, and the actions of our sin-filled lives, God's word convicts us of these very same sins. We look at our lives and see the exact same thing that happened to these disciples we have, in a sense, done to Jesus multiple times. The difference is that these two lessons show a different result. The difference in these two lessons was that not just that these two were sorry for their sins, they both were. We're told that when Judas saw the end, he was cut to the heart. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood," and he returned those 30 pieces of silver to the elders and chief priests. In the last verse of our text, we heard that Peter went out and wept bitterly. The difference was that Judas's story ends in despair. As we heard in our reading of the Passion history, he went out and hanged himself. Peter trusted in Jesus, turned back to the Lord in faith for forgiveness and eternal life. Do you know that Jesus knew what Peter would do that night? He knew that Peter would fall. He even said to him, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Those words are recorded for us just a few verses before our text this morning. The Lord changed Peter's prideful heart through this incident. And the Lord later would inspire Peter to write these words from his first letter. Peter says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Don't those sound like words of someone who's been through this before, who wasn't ready to give an answer for the hope that he has, didn't always speak with gentleness and respect? Jesus knows that we too are weak and sinful like Peter. He knows that we too will fall many times as well. He knows that there will be times in our lives where our actions, or maybe even our words, will outright give the impression that we deny knowing Jesus. When we fall, each time we fall, he wants us to look to him, to look to his cross like Peter did, and remember his words. "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." No matter what sins we have committed, no matter how many times we have fallen, or even if we've denied Jesus with our mouths, with our hands, with our lives, Jesus wants us to confess them. He wants us to return to him for strength, to say no to sin, for comfort for our guilty conscience, and most importantly, to turn to him for full, complete, and free forgiveness. He will never deny us. He's promised it. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew.
Be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? We bring our prayers before our Father's throne. Blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we know that the trials, the sufferings, the humiliation, and the bitter death which you endured were all for us. Precious Savior, give us grace to always remember in true faith and with repentant hearts for what you in love have done for us. Give us also willingness and strength to follow you on faith's journey, not at a distance, but close, even through heartbreak and through suffering, to eternal joy that you have won for us. We ask you, Lord, to be with us in every temptation. Help us to watch and pray, and help us to overcome, that we may glorify you with a godly life and a steadfast faith. Keep us at all times from false security, and from becoming careless and indifferent in all things spiritual. Help us overcome the weaknesses, the fears, and the sinful desires of our flesh. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may be always filled with watchfulness and prayer, and above all, Lord, forgive our sins, for you suffered and died for all of them. Through your merit and intercession, move our Father in heaven to give us all those things which we need. We praise and bless your glorious name as we pray to you now the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn. That hymn is printed for you on the top of page 6 in your bulletin. Please rise. We continue in the middle of page 6. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to live by your word. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness. We pray this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 423. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us. We invite you to come again and invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway today. Pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard this morning. There are a few announcements in the bulletin. This week, our elders' meeting will be held on Wednesday at 6:30, followed by the church council meeting at 7 p.m., you notice next Sunday, my parents are visiting this coming weekend, and my father, Pastor Mark Bernthal, will be preaching as our guest preacher for the sermon next Sunday. So you get to hear the original Pastor Bernthal next Sunday here at both St. Stephen West and St. Stephen East Bay. We will be having a small lunch for them and a meet and greet for them for at least a brief couple of minutes after the service next Sunday, and we'll cut our time as close as possible to get to East Bay, and I'll give them a heads up today as well that we'll be getting there a little closer to 1 o'clock than normal, so they get a chance to have some lunch and at least shake hands and say hi to you all. They're looking forward to it, by the way. They're very happy about it, and They're like, oh, I want to come to both services. We want to see what you do for both places. And I'm glad that my dad said yes to both as well so that he can preach for both of them. I'll be flying out this evening to visit Jules for tonight and tomorrow and coming back again on Tuesday morning. So if assistance is needed from me, please do call my cell phone. Tuesday, I plan on doing some visits with the members in East Bay in that area since I'm flying out of Oakland tonight. Any other announcements I'm forgetting this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.